It's past the hour here on Nigeria Info 99.3. You're welcome to the extended morning crossfire. I told you earlier in the morning that on Mondays we have extended morning crossfire to 10. I'm Sherif Quadri, and this morning we are continuing our coverage on the PVC collection. You can join us live on Facebook. You can also watch on YouTube right now. As we go into the conversation this morning, you're welcome to also share your thoughts on our live stream. And as we anytime we're ready, we'll open up the telephone line as well to join our conversation. We have joining us on the show this morning, INEC's National Commissioner and Chairman, Information and Voter Education, Mr. Festus Okoye, joins us live on the show. Mr. Okoye, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Yes.
How are you doing, sir?
It's possible I'm good, yeah.
I know you're good. You're looking very good. let's start first by getting some updates from you as regards PVC collection nationwide. What can you tell us? Is there any update that Nigeria should know?
It's been going on well. Nigerians have been turning up in their numbers to collect their PVCs, and we are really, really encouraged by the enthusiasm, the resilience of the Nigerian people in terms of PVC collection. I was in Anambra State to supervise PVC collection. I was in Abia State to supervise PVC collection, and other national commissioners were in different states of the Federation to supervise PVC collection. And we are really, really encouraged by the enthusiasm of the Nigerian people relating to PVC collection. As you know, from today, the PVC collection moves back to the 704 local government areas of the Federation. So we have pulled that from the 8,809 registration areas or worse, and we are back to the local governments. And so those who did not have an opportunity of collecting their PVCs when we moved to the electoral wards still have a window to collect their PVCs up to the 29th of this month. So that is where we are as of today.
Please confirm this, Sokoye, that because we're hearing about 79% of people have collected their PVCs as of the 9th of January. We're way past 9th of January now. What's the current percentage of PVC collection, to be very precise?
No. It will be presumptuous to put a figure to the number of PVCs collected because our resident electoral commissioners, some of them do send daily updates on PVC collection from all the local governments. Some of them send the update every 2 days, and some of them send weekly updates. We haven't put all these things together into one matrix to know the number of PVCs that have been collected and the percentage of PVCs collected. And so it will be presumptuous to put a figure to it or to put a number to it.
I'm going to delve into the realm of, you know, attacks on your facilities in some parts of the country right now. What can you tell us about INEC's preparedness to mitigate, or let's say to be able to recover from attacks on your facilities, because it's coming one too many, and people are wondering whether eventually, if these attacks, if they continue, there may be possibility of, you know, the areas affected not people there not casting their ballot at the end of the day.
From the commission's perspective, the conduct of free, fair, transparent, credible, and inclusive election is a shared responsibility. And what that means is that the commission has its own constitutional and legal regime, which has already been articulated in the constitutional and the electoral legal framework. Our remit is to organize, undertake, and supervise election. And that's exactly what we have been doing and what we'll continue to do. As of today, as the chairman of the commission pointed out, the entire consignment of the beavers that will be used for voter verification and authentication are already in the country. And we have tested them across the Federation, and we are confident that the quantum of beavers we have are in good working condition. And the very few that had challenges, we have already replaced them. We have also carried out what I call deployment of non-sensitive materials to some of the critical areas where these non-sensitive materials will be used. And we've deployed almost over 70% of the non-sensitive materials required for this for the conduct of election. In terms of result sheets and in terms of ballot papers and so on and so forth, we are definitely going to be ready going into way ahead of the election. So in terms of our own general preparedness, in terms of our general preparation, in terms of our trainings and so on, this commission is in a more comfortable position than we were in 2019. But as you pointed out, we've recorded over 50 attacks in our facilities across the Federation. And the chairman made it clear that for the attacks that have taken place, that we have the capacity to recover. And in most of them, we have already recovered because we have either rebuilt the facilities or moved to safer locations. And in some of the attacks where we lost PVCs, we have reprinted some of those PVCs and replaced some of the equipment that were destroyed. But we cannot continue to face attacks as we get into the critical phase of the electoral process. So we have been holding robust conversation and consultation with the various security agencies in terms of protecting our 36 state offices and our office in the Federal Capital Territory and our offices in the 774 local government areas of the Federation. And so we are slightly in a comfortable position in terms of the type of security provided in our offices. And so we are hopeful that these attacks will stop and the commission will proceed with its activities.
I'm glad that the commission has is making steps to make sure that, you know, conversations continue to be sustained in terms of peaceful conduct of elections. But there is this other part of it as well, as to, I mean, what relationship between INEC and security agencies like? Anytime we have this conversation about INEC offices being attacked, people, you know, get back and calling or send messages to say that, you know, INEC should protect their facilities, INEC should protect their facilities, you know, but what's the true picture like in INEC protecting their facilities or the working relationship between INEC and security agencies?
I'm going to approach your question from three different perspectives. The first perspective is that, one, I pointed out that our business is to organize, undertake, and supervise elections. Protecting the electoral environment, making the electoral environment safe, protecting INEC materials, protecting INEC personnel, protecting the voters to make them go to the polling units to go and vote on election day is the responsibility of the various security agencies. And in that matrix, in that framework, the Nigerian Police Force is the lead agency in terms of election security. We have what we call the Interagency Consultative Committee on Election Security at the national level, made up of the heads of the various security agencies. We have the same replicated at the state level, and we also have the same replicated at the level of the local governments. And so we have a very good working relationship with the various security agencies. But as you know, the various security agencies also have what you call a personnel challenge, and they cannot be in all places at the same time. But in terms of protecting our facilities, there are a two-track approach. The first track approach is that the security agencies protect our offices. The second track is that the commission tries to disperse its risk by making sure that we don't put all our critical facilities in the same place, so that if there's any attack, we will safeguard some of our facilities going forward. And we're also installing gadgets in some of our offices that enables us to anticipate some of these challenges, to anticipate some of these attacks, and also to mitigate some of these attacks going forward. It's a double-barreled issue, but we are doing our best to make sure that electoral continuity is not affected in relation to some of these attacks.
I like the word you use, double-barreled issue, because I'm going to pivot off of that. One of your offices in the Southeast was attacked and then attacked again. That sounds like double-barreled to me, Mr. Fesizikoye. I mean, is there going to be an election in the Southeast?
There will be an election in the Southeast. I just told you that I came back from a tour of Anambra and Abia states. And when I went to Anambra, I went to Aguleri, a local government, which is really far off. I also went to Oyi local government. I went to Nokofia, a local government, where I supervised PVC collection. And I could see the enthusiasm in the faces of the people in terms of collection. I could see that the various communities are also assisting the commission in getting out people to come and collect their PVCs, and also in terms of providing some level of protection for purposes of PVC collection. I also went to Abia State. I went to Bend, the local government. I went to Ohafia local government. I went to the various residential areas in Omuahia and in Aba North and South. And so I've seen that the Nigerian people are ready for this particular election. The only thing they're asking for is that the commission should ramp up its logistics to make sure that there are no logistic challenges. And they're also saying, give us some form of security is to enable us come out and vote without anything untoward happening to us. And so elections will definitely take place. I'm confident about that.
Mr. Okoye, let's talk about BVAS, that machine that a lot of Nigerians have been touting as a game changer. Quite a number of people still want to know how it will function. So from what we know, it's bimodal, which means that it can capture your facials and your fingerprints. And there have been so many information as regards how it functions really. Now, the essence of this question is so that we can further enlighten and educate people on how the machine works and what they should expect. I know there's going to be mock election. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But let's talk about how it works, really. People have been saying something like it will need internet. Some people are saying it will not need internet. Then the battery is not strong enough. No, the battery is very strong. I mean, what's the function of the BVAS like? Please educate my listener, please.
You know, one thing I have resisted over a period of time is opening the brain of the BVAS for politicians and political actors to see. They want to know how the brain of the BVAS works so that they can see whether there's a possibility of cloning the brain of the BVAS or whether there's a possibility of doing something so that the BVAS will work in the manner they want. But they will not have that opportunity. But I'm ready to state the fact that, one, that the BVAS works offline, in which case it does not need internet for voter verification and voter authentication. I'm also ready to volunteer the fact that, as you pointed out, that it is a bimodal, in which case it reads both the facials and the fingerprint. I'm also ready to volunteer the fact that the BVAS can last up to 12 midnight on election day. So we don't have any challenge in relation to the BVAS. The BVAS only needs network to function when we begin to do upload of the from EC8A, which is the pooling unit level result, into our INEC result VIM portal. That is the only time the issue of network comes into play. But in terms of voter verification and authentication, the BVAS works offline, and we don't have any challenge with the BVAS. I pointed out we have taken control and we have taken delivery of the full complement of the BVAS required for the conduct of election in the 176,846 polling units in Nigeria. We have also taken delivery of the BVAS that we are going to use for what we call redundancies in the 8,809 registration areas. And we also have redundancies in the 774 local government areas of Nigeria. So if there's any challenge in any polling unit, our registration area technical support staff can intervene and intervene decisively in terms of fixing the BVAS or in terms of providing a replacement. And so in terms of the BVAS, we are in a very comfortable position.
And just so we're very clear, Mr. Koye, the BVAS is just for accreditation. Voting was still going to be done manually.
I really don't want to use the word manual in this particular program. What I'm ready to say is that you are going to be accredited using the BVAS. The moment the accreditation takes place, the presiding officer will give you a ballot paper.
Okay.
And you use that ballot paper to go and vote. At the end of the election, the presiding officer will sort out the ballots, count the ballots, and enter the scores of the political parties into from EC8A, which is the pooling unit level result. It is that pooling unit level result that is scanned and uploaded into our INEC result viewing portal for public viewing. So that's the way it is going to happen on election day.
Indeed. If you're just joining us, you're welcome. I have INEC's National Commissioner and Chairman Information and Voter Education, Mr. Festus Okoye, on the show this morning. Morning Crossfire Extended. I'm Sharif Quadri. And I have Mr. Okoye. We're still going to talk about IDPs and their chances of voting and your preparation for that. We'll talk about litigations, because I know that there are still court rulings here and there, and the impact of these on elections. And we'll also, you know, talk about possible runoff and INEC's preparation, you know, for that. These are other areas that we'll cover. But in the meantime, let's go to the telephone lines and hear from Lagos if they've got some questions for you. 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. Or just call the smart number 0700-993-993-993. If you're a female, you can call this line. It's specially made for the female callers. 01-465-7190. That is 01-465-7190. Please turn off your radio, and I please beg you, go straight to the point. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
As per the security on the day of the election,
right,
what I would like the police or the government agency that will take care of the security to do is to have a body detector. If anybody is carrying harm, they arrest the person so that the person will not be a danger to every other person who have come out to cast their vote. And two, people in Ijegun, I called on Sandra Shaw and I told them about people not, the INEC people not coming near to the masses to collect their PVC. Do we in Ijegun have to go to technical college where we went to collect our PVC to be able to vote? Because they didn't come near to the masses. So a lot of people in Ijegun have not even collected their PVC. And they said this event has closed. Me and my husband were able to go to the technical college and we have collected our own PVC. But a lot of people in my area, they've not collected. They don't even know where to go and collect the PVC. If they say they are coming to work, they should keep to their word. They didn't come near the ward.
In Ijegun,
very remote to us.
Okay, all right.
Very, very far away from us.
Thank you. Mr. Okoye has noted that down, and possibly he would address that. But let's take some more calls. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Alessia.
Good morning to you. Okay, let's take another call. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Victor. I'm calling you from Bagada.
Welcome, Mr. Victor.
Okay. I registered for INEC since 2021, August to be precise.
Okay.
And I've been to my local government to collect my PVC over 7 times. I've not received.
What were you told?
The last time I went on 2nd of January at the office, they said probably I have to fill an omission form, which I did.
Okay.
Then last week, I went to the school close to my house where they are collecting. I went there, they said it's not ready. So I don't know what else to do. I've been going there. This is the 8th time I've gone when I went to
But school. you've filled an omission form on the...
Yes, on third, the 2nd of
on
January.
On the 2nd of January.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's okay. Mr. Festus would attend to that. Let's take one last one. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
This is Adeshewa.
Welcome.
Yes, I want to ask Mr. Festus that the Beavers, if we are, is it going to be the same thing as, you know, those people that clocked in, they use offline. But if you now go online, that's when it will be submitted. So what is the correlation there? I want to really know. If it's going to be offline, do you understand what I'm saying, Mr. Sherry? If it's going to be offline, if they're going to accredit you offline, then when they want to collect it, they will now use online.
Online.
That's when it will be submitted.
Okay.
So you should shed more light on that.
All right. All right. I think that's valid. Mr. Festus, do you get the last question?
It's slightly confusing to me,
okay,
but let me just say this. What the Beavers does is to authenticate that the person who has come to the polling unit on election day is the person we registered as a voter,
okay,
and that the person is not engaged in identity theft.
Okay.
So when you approach the presiding officer on election day, when you are authenticated, it registers that one person has been authenticated. If he registers two, he registers two. At the end of the day, it will give a figure of 20 or 30 or 50 persons have been authenticated. Mm. So what you have are figures of 50 voters who have gone through the process of accreditation only.
Right.
That is the only thing it gives you. It does not give you who you have voted for because it's not an electronic voting machine. Mm. You will still be given a ballot paper or a ballot paper to go and vote. Mm. At the end of the day, the only thing that we upload is a form, the result form called from EC8A. That is the only one document is what we upload. And then the data of accredited voters, if we have 200 registered, only 50 persons show up. The BVAS will only 50 persons show up. Hmm. So if during the voting, 51 persons voted, implication or the what that means is that there has been an overvote. Hmm. So that is what the BVAS does. So the BVAS is only used to upload the result sheet emanating from the result in that particular polling unit.
Right.
In terms of Victor, who filled the omission form.
Right.
Let me say that if any omission is due to the fault of the commission, we will print the card of the individual and we will arrest the individual in the any omission that is due to our own fault will definitely be remedied. In terms of the issue of body detector, I've taken that. Yeah. We'll make that suggestion to the various security agencies. Mm. And also in terms of persons who have been having difficulty
let's quickly take this break. Huh?
We'll be back. Round the clock, it's engaging.
From news to sport
and other conversations all day. Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
Info. Welcome back to the Crossfire Extended here on the Monday morning, 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sheriff Quadri. And this morning we're talking PVC collection. I have Mr. Festus Okoye here, INEC National Commissioner and Chairman, Information and Voter Education Committee of Independent National Electoral Commission. Mr. Festus, thank you again for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time. We're going to go take some calls, but before we do that, let's further our conversation this morning. Let's start with the IDP Nigerians at IDP camps all across in some parts of the country. And people have been wondering what will be their fate. And will they be allowed to cast their ballots? Will they not be allowed to cast their ballots? What can you tell us?
Well, the commission has been proactive with the issue of the IDP voting. This is because Section 24, Subsection 1 of the Electoral Act 2022 makes it very clear that in the event of an emergency affecting an election, the commission shall, as far as practicable, ensure that persons displaced as a result of the emergency are not disenfranchised. So we have a framework for IDP voting, and we have revised that particular framework. Our resident electoral commissioners have also collected data of all the IDP camps in their various states and also the number of persons in the various IDP camps in their various states. They have also collected data relating to their registration areas. Mm. So what we do is that on election day, we are going to recreate their electoral wards or registration areas and they will vote in the IDP camps. But for those IDPs that are staying in the house of relatives, IDPs that are staying with friends and so on, there is no way we can capture them in our framework. So the only way they can vote is if they identify with the IDP camp that is closest to them.
Okay.
So that on election day, they can go to that particular IDP camp to go and vote, because that's where we are going to recreate their electoral wards on election day. Mm. So they will definitely vote. In 2019, we recreated the IDP camps, and the IDPs were able to vote. So there's no challenge whatsoever during this particular period.
I mean, that reminds me, Mr. Okoye, about the argument that no matter how much INEC tries to get Nigerians, to bring Nigerians into the voting population, there are still some that systemically they cannot vote. And some of those people are the security agents themselves. Is this, first and foremost, why can't they vote? Don't they vote? And what can be done to make sure that the policeman on duty on election day can easily cast his ballot?
only the security agencies or security agents that are in this particular framework. We are going to deploy over 1.2 million ad hoc staff during this particular election. Mm-hmm. And there's a possibility that majority of these ad hoc staff will be deployed to areas far from where they register. The members of the media are also going to be out there on election day. INEC staff will also be out there on election day. Security agents will be out there on election day. And also people on essential duty.
Yeah.
In some countries, there's what they call early voting, in which case some of these persons vote early, at least a week before election, to enable them prepare for their essential duties.
Right.
But we don't have that legal framework as of today. Maybe after the 2023 general election, it should be one of the things that we should look into, the issue of early voting, and also the issue of out-of-country voting, especially for people who are on foreign mission outside the country. So it's a very good point. We will look into it, but it will be after the 2023 election.
I want to get how the minds of you people at INEC, how your minds are working right now, because of the kinds of election you are about to conduct in February. People have said that we've never had it this way before. Is that the same way INEC is looking at it? If that's the way, is INEC prepared for a runoff, a possible runoff?
The framers of the Nigerian Constitution obligates the commission to prepare for any eventuality. And that means that if you look at Section 134 of the Constitution, it says that if no winner emerges on the first ballot, that the commission has 21 days to conduct a second election between two candidates. Now, we have fixed 25th of February, 2023, for presidential assembly election.
Right.
And then 11th day of March, 2023, for governorship and state assembly election. So if no winner emerges on the first ballot, we still have governorship and state assembly elections to worry about. So what we normally do is that when we are preparing for the main election, we prepare for a possible second election, or what you call possible runoff. Because by the time you sort out reverse logistics and then begin to print 93.4 million ballots, time will run out on you. So we prepare for both election, both the main election and a possible second election when we are preparing for the main election. So that we won't be caught unawares. So that's exactly what we do.
You're always ready, that is. But there is also another fear, Mr. Okoye. Permit me to put it this way. Nigerians seem to think that INEC like to waste people money. On the day to election, they will just postpone election. You just wait and say, election not postponed. Mr. Okoye, is there a guarantee that there won't be any postponement of elections, especially the February 25 election?
The chairman of the Independent National Electoral Commission, Professor Mahmood Yakubu, has assured the nation that under his watch, elections will no longer be postponed on grounds of logistics and logistic challenges. And he stands by that particular commitment and that particular assertion. And as I pointed out, we have deployed over 70% of the non-sensitive materials required for this election. We have taken delivery of the full complement of the beavers that will be used for this election. And in terms of our preparations, we started preparing for this election the moment we ended the 2019 general election. So from the side of the commission, we will not be found wanting. And elections will not be postponed on grounds that we have challenges with logistics. No, it will not happen again.
Indeed. Well, let me ask this then. I'll go to the telephone lines. And that's another worrying situation. The level of litigation, the level of court judgment here and there. What are the possible implications of this? People have been saying that, look, it may not affect INEC that much because INEC don't have names of candidates on the ballot. What you have are just party logos and all of that. But you know the inner workings, you know the intricacies of all of these judgments on your operations. Could you please tell us if there are any implication to this may bring to INEC's conduct of elections next month?
You know that over 95% of all the cases in court arose as a result of the nature of the OPEC primaries conducted by the various political parties. Mm-hmm. So I think that the media should try as much as possible to focus attention on the internal workings of political parties, on the practices and procedures of the various political parties, and so that we don't have this level and quantum of litigation that we have presently. It is a good thing that the president of the Court of Appeal and the chief judge of the Federal High Court set up special panels to go around the Federation to make sure that some of the litigations are disposed of expeditiously. And you, as you can see, a large number of the litigations are either in the Court of Appeal now or in, this, or in the Supreme Court. Yes, it will affect the commission one way or the other because we want to print ballot papers and print ballot papers on time. If in a place you have only four political parties contesting, it will be sheer waste to go and print a ballot paper containing the names of the 18 registered political parties. So the moment we have these litigations sorted out, it will be the commission will be in a position to know the number of political parties contesting the election in the various constituencies where we are going to conduct conduct election. And so it is affecting the commission, but we won't allow it to affect the commission in such a way that it will be difficult for us to print ballot papers on time and deploy them on time. At a certain time, we are going to have a cutoff period within which we are going to print ballot papers and deploy because we don't want to be snapping.
Indeed. Mr. Koye, well said, well said. Let's go to the telephone lines. Let's hear from Lagos this morning. Lagos, you have the numbers, don't you? You can also send us WhatsApp. WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. That's for WhatsApp and WhatsApp messages only. Let me take this call and see who is here. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sherif.
Good morning to you.
Lucky Lola from Maguru. Yes, Mr. Festus Okuyi, it seems there are bad eggs among INEC officials on this ongoing PVC collection. Does INEC have any, you know, official device to monitor some of your, you know, members? Because recently, we had some officials who demand bribe before giving up PVC. I can't, you know, confirm that report, but these are what we hear. And also some party members, you know, going about giving PVC to their members. How do they get those PVC? Is there any official that monitor your people activities? Thank you, sir.
Thank you too for calling me. Appreciate it. Let's take another one. Good morning to you. Oh, that call is gone. We're going to take this one instead. Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. Should we move on? Let's move on then. Let's move on. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
Okay, so this is Kendi calling from Lekki.
You're welcome.
So I've been having issues with getting my PVC because when INEC officials talk about the perfection of the system, it raises doubts. I did a transfer in sometime September 2021.
Okay.
And I went to their office in August 2022. So they told me that it's not available, that possibly it was omitted. So the woman collected my details. They said they entered it into their system, sending them a reminder of something. So I was asked to come back in October. I went there, same story. I was asked to come back in December, same thing. Again in December, I was asked to come back in January. I was there 2 weeks ago, same thing. So they told me when I went there in January, I guess January 12th or 11th, they brought out one paper like that, that we should be writing our names, those that were not available. Now, going beyond this, you realize, okay, so they are not attending to you at their INEC office or the ward.
Okay.
So I went to INEC's website, checked, sent a mail, called the numbers that were there. Some of the numbers, okay, like the one that eventually went through, they will tell you, pick the language. Once you pick, you'll just be hearing songs. So there's no platform to even ask for this thing.
Right. Right.
It's so frustrating.
Let's have Mr. Okoye respond to your concern, Kennedy. Thank you so much for calling. Mr. Okoye.
Let me respond to Kennedy's concern. Now, the issue of transfer is a very straightforward matter. Now, it depends on where you are transferring to. If you are in Lagos and you live in Surulere, for instance, and there's a local government there, and you are transferring to Lekki, your PVC will be in Lekki and not in Sululere. Mm-hmm. And so after this program, please, if you can make available your name and your details, and even possibly your sleep, I can check it here. If we have not printed your PVC, we will definitely print your PVC. The first question relates to the issue of bad eggs. There are bad eggs everywhere, but this commission does not condone infraction by our own staff. The moment we get any report of any infraction, we definitely investigate and we meet our sanctions. But you know, sometimes people go out of their way to go and attempt to corrupt our officials, to attempt to bribe our officials, to attempt to make sure that our officials do what is right, do what is not right. So we don't condone some of these issues. Every local government has an electoral officer that you can complain to. Mm-hmm. Every state has a resident electoral commissioner. You can complain to a resident electoral commissioner. But you know, there's so much rumor, too much rumor flying up and down on the social media relating to our officials and so on and so forth. Sometimes somebody will just go to a particular registration center. The person has done multiple or double registration. The person's card has not been printed. The person will turn around and make a video and say, share. INEC has disenfranchised me. When in actual fact, the person engaged in double or multiple registration. But any form of infraction, the moment we get the concrete evidence that there has been an infraction, we investigate and we take action. And then we don't condone infractions by our officials.
Let's take another call then. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Sheriff, yes, Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to Barrister Festus Okoye. My name is Comrade Freeman. My question goes to us. I am visually impaired. While registering for my PVC, I indicated I'm visually impaired with 95% vision loss. My question is, on the day of election, what are the provisions made to aid people like me to vote properly? Either their gadgets or INEC staff who assist in some printing of the ballot? Right. What are the measures put in place for voting for visually impaired? That's my question.
Thank you for sharing. Let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
Malara, yes.
You're welcome, man.
I have a similar issue like that called last. I transferred from one part of Ikorodu to the other. In my own case, I lost the sleep. I had even lost hope, not until the PRO came a few weeks back and said we can still check. My name is on their portal. Everything with my old PVC is there. Right. But when I went to the ward the other day, they couldn't find anything. And I insisted I wanted to fill a form. They said there was no form to fill, that they had noted it in their phone. I said, INEC says there's an incident form. They said no. So now they have moved back to the local government.
Right.
I don't know what to do.
All right. Mr. Koi is here. Mr. Koi.
Yes. In terms of the first question relating to those with visual impairment, Section 54 of the Electoral Act is very, very clear. It says that anybody with visual impairment can be accompanied into the voting compartment by a person of his or her choice, and the person will assist the visually impaired person to vote. Now, it also says that the commission must and shall take reasonable steps to make sure that persons who have one form of disability or the other, or persons with special needs or vulnerable persons, are provided with assistive materials to aid them in voting. And based on this, we normally provide Braille ballot guide for those who are visually impaired. We also provide magnifying glasses. We also provide posters on election day. So in terms of persons with disability, we normally take extra care to make sure that, one, we give them priority, and secondly, we provide assistive materials to enable them to vote. In terms of the second question, I think it relates to the first question I was asked. All the persons who have genuine complaints, we ask all the issuance officers to harvest all these complaints and feed them back to INEC headquarters. And we look into that. if anybody has a genuine case, in terms of previously not having been printed,
right,
we normally print and then we send the message to the individual. Mm.
Is there a guarantee that this, you know, PVCs will be printed before the election?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. All right. He said yes, for those who didn't catch that. Mr. Festus, we need to begin to go now. I can't take any more calls at this moment. But I have a message here that would, on WhatsApp, that would I would love for you to answer. The person says, how would INEC checkmate the possibility of uploading fake results on BVAS? That's the question.
Will the commission checkmate the uploading of fake results?
That's right.
Now, every political party registered in Nigeria has been given an opportunity to upload the names, signature, and particulars of its polling agents. So if a political party is a political party in the true sense of the word,
okay,
it will have an opportunity of sending at least one agent, one polling agent, to a polling unit. And if the 18 political parties send polling agents to a polling unit, what that means is that we're going to have 18 agents of political parties in one polling unit. Secondly, we also encourage Nigerians to also engage in mandate protection. You can vote and wait around the vicinity of the polling unit without disrupting the voting process. And then you participate in the counting and sorting of votes. Not only that, the law, our regulation obligates the presiding officer to also paste a copy of the polling unit level result at the polling unit there for everybody to see.
Right.
And so I think that if you upload fake results on the using the BVAS, what that means is that nobody is there. But it must also correspond with the data of accredited voters that we have in the BVAS.
That's right.
And you must also take it to the collection center, and the collection officer must also interrogate what you have done. And so I think that our system is robust, and we are confident that if all of us are vigilant, nobody will corrupt the system.
Mr. Festus Okoye, thank you so much for giving us your time this morning. We appreciate your time. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
I appreciate this opportunity, and I want to thank you for the work you do for the people of this country in terms of enlightenment, in terms of advocacy, and also in terms of making sure that our people have electoral information. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Festus Okoye is a National Commissioner of INEC and, of course, Chairman, Information and Voter Education Committee of the Electoral Umpire Lagos. That is our show this morning. Thank you all for being a part of Morning Crossfire Extended. Comes up every Monday from 5 a.m. all the way to 10 a.m. Other days will wrap up by 9. I'm Sheriff Quadri. It's been great doing this. What's Up Lagos is next with Marianne, and I will see you tomorrow at 5. Bye for now.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, get fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a